Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, and oh yeah, sometimes the international. And just like the dude said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three, which is inexplicable to me that we're already at hour number three. But we're shifting gears. So number two on the triple dipper for the day, I'm just calling it Stand With Israel. And I made mention earlier, and if you heard my monologue at the beginning of the show, you know that I said that I don't want to be on the wrong side of history with this. We don't need to be on the, wrong side of history. And think where we were just a mere 4 years ago with the Abraham Accords going into effect and the U.S. Embassy being moved to Jerusalem and Iran's General Qasem Soleimani being taken out as a clear indication that we were no longer going to mess with Iran. And now where are we? 4 years later. It's amazing. Well, a guest is coming on right now who has a former strategic planner, Major General Joe Arbuckle. He and I first began interacting because of his work with a group called STARS. That's two R's in there. STARS, S-T-A-R-R-S. STARS stands for Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services. STARS is an organization of retired officers and senior enlisted who want our military to be strong, to be anti-woke, and to have its integrity and its pride and its capabilities fully in effect. But General Arbuckle and I, as we've talked more often than not, we've also found that he's fully capable of providing great commentary on current events as they relate to the military especially. So General Arbuckle started his career in the late 60s, served through the late 90s. He began as a young officer serving in Vietnam as an advisor to the South Vietnamese Infantry. He moved on there through a great career working in missile and air defense, even served here in Alabama at Red Star and Arsenal, if I'm not mistaken, and all the way up until he assumed command of the U.S. Army Industrial Operations Command at Rock Island, Illinois. Folks, he's been there and done that, and I'm glad to have him back on the show. General Arbuckle, how you doing, sir?
Doing fine, Colonel Phil. Pleasure to be back with you and speak with you again. And thanks for the plug about STARS. Great organization, as you know.
It is. And I was really proud recently to be appointed to the Board of Advisors. And so thank you for that honor.
Well, we're honored to have you on board. You bring a lot of credibility and knowledge with you. So great team effort.
Absolutely. Well, hey, sir, you know, I was thinking as I looked at your resume again right before we went on the air, you might even have some thoughts on what we just saw this past weekend, even from an air defense and missile command capability, even though we're in a different era and the technology is changing rapidly, even by the day. I'm sure you could speak to it from that standpoint. But give me your loose thoughts up front, first of all, about Iran and what happened this past weekend with Israel.
Right. Well, just from an overview standpoint, that was a huge success for the air defense capabilities, obviously, of the IDF, along with allies to include us and Jordan, and I think France was there also. I heard you mention earlier the amount of aerial vehicles that Iran had sent in to Israel. That's over 330. And I read a report earlier today that United States Air Force, I believe, F-15s, knocked down a total of 70 of those, and a combination of drones and cruise missiles.
Yeah.
Of course, the rest came from Israeli defense forces. But they have probably the strongest air defense network in the world just because of where they're located and the threat they're up against. In a general overview kind of a comment also, you know, these drones and the cruise missiles, the low-cost, highly accurate cruise missiles, are changing the face of warfare. And that's something when you really need to put a lot of thought into, because it just shows how vulnerable targets like our capital ships out there floating around, as well as fixed installations, these very, very cheap and highly accurate AI, basically programmed and controlled devices. That's going to change the face of warfare, as I said. And you're right, I did have a couple of really enjoyable tours there, Huntsville, Redstone Arsenal. I got trained in missile systems there early on. I think it was after I got back from Vietnam in 73 and came back again to get trained on the Pershing system. So I've got a lot of background in missiles, and I appreciate their effectiveness.
Well, I look at this too, and it's almost like in some ways what we're seeing with the with drone capability and with missiles it's even becoming a poor man's option, if you will. I mean, we're watching the Houthis launch drone attacks against shipping. And who are the Houthis? They've got a little more capability than just something like a Somali militia. But nonetheless, it's still not a nation state. It's a terrorist organization launching drone attacks. And so there is that to be considered. But at the same time, we watched Iran make what was the very first ever, I believe, nation-on-nation attack from Iranian soil to Israeli soil.
Exactly. That's unheard of. And the big question in everybody's mind is, what's Israel going to do about it in terms of responses right now? And, of course, we know that Biden's administration is basically trying to limit the scope and size of the reaction coming out of Israel. In fact, Biden has reportedly told Bibi Netanyahu, take a win, and basically move on. In other words, tit for tat, basically, in this thing. But Israel, in my opinion, obviously cannot do that. They've got some choices, obviously. They can go after things, they can go after people, they can go after a combination of both. And what I mean by that is they can retaliate going after the missile launch facilities and other infrastructure that supports that, along with command and control centers, et cetera. Those are the things they can hit. Or they can target members of the regime, the people, as they've done in the past with the IRGC and taking out, as you mentioned, I think Soleimani, and most recently on 1 April, which precipitated the attack from Iran, where they killed seven of the IRGC members in Syria, to include two of their top generals who have been reported to have been responsible for the planning of the 7 October attack on Israel. So there's two cases right there where Israel goes after kind of the head of the snake in terms of the people involved in launching these strikes. So who knows? I don't know which direction they're going to go, but they can't sit back and do nothing. And I think it'll be rather substantial.
Well, I think they have to. I mean, I think they also at this point have pretty neatly blocked and really even embarrassed Iran. There's one headline on Fox News that says that Iran and its terror proxies are completely stunned by the failure of what was otherwise intended to be a saturation bombing.
Correct. And I'm sure the Iranian regime was hoping to inflict a lot of casualties on Israel. And as you just kind of indicated, that did not happen. But the problem is, of course, there's a lot of munitions expended from an air defense standpoint and also from a aircraft standpoint. And it takes time to replace those munitions. And so it's a game of numbers in some cases.
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead. And who knows? Well, we do know that Iran has a large stockpile. In fact, they've been selling drones and other similar type smaller missiles to Russia for Russia to use against Ukraine very effectively. So they've got that on their side. And Israel is constantly asking us for support, of course, in replacing the missiles that we help supply them with.
Well, I think Israel, you know, the ADA branch of the U.S. military sometimes gets overlooked because people think of, you know, the infantry or the armor or the other, you know, but this has proven itself once again, maybe even more so in today's modern era, to be a vital component to the branches.
Absolutely. It always has been, always will be. But one thing I found interesting today, I saw early on some what looked like a video of a gun camera aboard a fighter aircraft shooting down a drone. Well, you know, drones fly very, very slow, as well as cruise missiles, so they're kind of mouth-watering targets for a fighter pilot and relatively easy to take out. So we can't forget that dynamic either.
Well, sir, if you don't mind, could you hang on during a break? We have to take a break right now. We're scheduled to, but I'd like to continue this discussion a little bit further and talk about the Biden administration's response and where we are now compared to 4 years ago. Is that all right with you?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Listen, we're on the line right now with Major General Joe Arbuckle, a long and storied career, which included a great deal of time in air defense and missile technology, as well as serving right here in Alabama at Redstone Arsenal. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and Just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going back to the phones right now with retired Major General Joe Arbuckle, who had an amazing career, which included, by the way, strategic level planning and, oh, by the way, missiles and air defense. Talking about what happened this past weekend with Iran launching just a massive attempt at a saturation bombing of Israel. Didn't work out. But yet we shouldn't also underestimate the geopolitical implications of what it really means. Hey, sir, let me ask you this. I saw that President Biden, the Secretary of Defense Austin, I think that Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State, and I believe the National Security Council's spokesperson, Kelly, they all came out and said when they were asked about the threat potentially looming of Iran doing something, they had one word. They just said, don't. That was their response, don't. And yet, Iran did anyway. Your thoughts on that?
When I heard that, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, you're talking about Kirby, for sure. The
Kirby, yes.
Guy. Yeah. Who knows where that came from, but obviously it was well-planned and orchestrated. But here's what happens, obviously, to our deterrence value when they say something like that and don't back it up. They say don't, and then Iran goes ahead and does it. Well, that means to the rest of the world, to include the Chinese and Russia and the North Koreans, that they don't really care. We have no deterrent credibility left anymore, for good reason. And that's a bad place to be. But tied to that, if I may, the Biden administration has been walking down a very dangerous road, Phil, in my view, and I'm sure you agree. And that is, on one hand, they say, our support for Israel is ironclad. That's the word they're using, ironclad. But on the other hand, when you look at their actions, it's the opposite. For example, I think you mentioned early on with the Abraham Accords, that was probably the best hope we had for reasonable peace in the Mideast in at least my lifetime. They walked away from that right away as soon as Biden came in the office. Same thing with the nuclear deal, the Iran nuclear deal. They started reengaging back into that, and Trump, of course, had killed that. And then they unfroze about $10 billion in Iranian assets, $10 billion for them to go out and buy and procure all these weapons that we see being put on the battlefield today. On top of that, the Iranian oil revenues have increased because we stopped basically producing, and now we're energy dependent, as you know. And on top of that, finally, the Biden administration is holding back the IDF and Netanyahu from doing what they really want to do in the Gaza Strip with Hamas. They basically got sort of some restraints put on them to include temporary ceasefires and so forth. So all those actions, when you add them up, are not ironclad support of Israel, as they claim.
No, they're not. And it's amazing how far Biden has sort of retrograded just in the four years since the Abraham Accords were signed. They were signed, I think, in September of 2020. So we're not even 4 years. And yet we also moved our embassy, you know, to Jerusalem and signaled to the world that we take Israel very seriously, and we're not going to just cater to the whims of the radical Islamists in the Middle East. And like you said, it's as if the deterrent capability is just gone. There's no credibility left in any of it.
Exactly. And, you know, that really became to the forefront with our disastrous debacle in Afghanistan, where basically the Biden administration surrendered on the battlefield in the middle of combat to terrorists.
Yeah.
That sent a signal around the world that they're not serious about defense of the United States.
Well, I agree with that completely, and that still gets in my craw pretty quick, having served there myself. But let me ask you this, sir, with about 2.5 minutes left, your thoughts on Israel's next steps. And I know that we're hearing that Biden is asking them to back off, but I think you and I would both agree that Netanyahu, himself being a former warrior, is not likely to just take a passive approach to Iran.
No. No, he's not. He can't afford to. And Israel has always acted in its own best interest because they're an island, as we know, out there in the middle, in the Mideast. They have to defend themselves. That's been their legacy, their history throughout time. And so they will do whatever they think is necessary to defend themselves and stop a recurrence of a similar attack in the future, not to mention thinking about what happened to their people on 7 October. And I'm sure that looms heavy regarding the hostages that are still being held by Hamas within the Gaza Strip. So they've got a lot on their plate right now to balance out. And it's not going to be following the advice that Biden gave them, again, I mentioned earlier, which was to Bibi Netanyahu. You got to win with this knockdown of these 300 missiles and drones. Take the win. In other words, just take that and move on. That's not going to happen.
No, deterrence, looking back through history, has not usually been something that resulted in bad guys just stopping their bad actions. Right. Well,
real quick, for as you know, deterrence has two factors. One is you got to have the political will to use the capabilities, the military, and all the other instruments of power we have to use them effectively. And the second thing is you do have to have the military capability to back up whatever position the statesmen take for our country. Right now, we're seen as not having the political will to use our capability as we should.
Well, yes, sir. And it's an unfortunate circumstance. And I can't wait for the November elections, and I'm hoping that means a change. Well, sir, thank you for your time. And once again, thank you for your service. And we appreciate you making time for Right Side Radio today.
Always a pleasure to talk with you, Phil. And thanks for all your great patriotic work that you do. And again, for your participation in STARS, you're a great asset.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Talk soon.
You bet. Take care. Bye.
All right. That was retired Major General Joe Arbuckle. Just a great guy. In fact, we actually connected not only through STARS, which is an organization that fights against wokeness in the military on a national level, but we also discovered in the course of doing so that he and my dad served in the same unit in Vietnam, which was very cool. And he served here at Redstone while my grandfather was post commander, which is also very cool. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming to the last half hour. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.